Ссылки нет. Ну, ты нашел, конечно, для порядка. Для порядка. Сейчас там. Надо уже и в остальное. Там финиш, не знаю, наверное, полчаса, но... Ну, все-таки надо сразу посмотреть. Так, надо вообще-то эту ссылку добавить в основную пасту. Я же все-таки вещаю на Кик, когда игры эфиры провожу. Так. Может, дай на минуточку, да, давай быстрее тогда. Быстрее, минуточка пошла. Что там за фурипутацкий обсуждает? Я так и не посмотрел, как чем. Я начинаю разочаровываться в аудитории Анна. Он, конечно, лучше достаточно, но скатывается понемногу. А так горжусь. Не, и за два эфира хоть там пробегал мимо не, кто-то еще, кроме моего главного зрителя, пробегал мимо и смотрел. Но ни одной шутки про хохлов, ни одной шутки. Горжусь вами. Так, у меня сломался МПВ, оказывается. Пять. А, сука! Чем у меня сломался питон, который нужен? МПВ. Не знаю, слышите меня, Дикстори, сейчас, но все-таки не скажи. Я пытался освободить место, заметил, что у меня две версии питона на винде стоят. 3.11, 3.12. Вот я удалил 3.11. Так, думать. Сейчас, я как-нибудь. Все исправлю. Так, YouTube DLP. YouTube DLP отдельно работает. Тогда почему... А, стоп, я виндовую, я вот здесь не виндовую сейчас проверяю. YouTube DLP. Но Python от C, Python 11, WebXE. Да, я зря. Так, чтобы по-быстрому я чоколадки смогу обратно поставить Python 3.11. Один. Окей. Что-то я сомневаюсь, что это, конечно, так легко поможет, но давай, щека, install Python 3.11. Надо было сразу, конечно, разбираться, те программы, которым нужен был Python, остались, когда я удалял про Python 3.11. Ну, я, наверное, раньше уже с этим всем разобрался. Наверное, все, что я ставил, ставилось, было зависело 3.12. Ну вот, как обычно. Разбираться придется, когда что-то понадобилось. Что, кино будет? Нет! Ладно, пока мы идемся с этим. Пойду чайник поставлю. Все, еще инсталлится. Так, если какой-нибудь способ вам нам что-то посмотреть, пока оно инсталлится. Дельки под виндой я вообще через что ставлю. Как же плохо быть таким линуксоидом, который, как устроено, лучше знает Linux. Ну, продолжает сидеть под виндой. А Linux только в виртуалке. Симлинк куда? Так, ну-ка, мне поставился питон 3.11. Ну чё-то я сомневаюсь, что так просто все будет. Чё-то надо... Ой, нет. Все, этого оказалось достаточно. Давай засмотрим. Хорошо. Thank you. А чё эти посылки? Там что-то длинное или как? До или после основного видео? Ладно, давай, да. Я там, кстати, со мной еще кофе делать. Блин, чё, скриншот сделался. Говорить нам ничего не будут? Тогда давай побыстрее. Это бетарское, это бетарскчане. А уже дохли, ходили живые. Ну там такая разрубка называется от целого кишечки. Вот так-то вот что-то мало в игре было. Ну так там были бы люди. В этом видео гуры больше, чем в игре. Только больше на словах. Вон всякие страшные вещи. Thank you. Attractive product characteristic. We quite have my say. Анончик. Я это считаю, который значит, что мы не умеете ставить на стенку, чтобы люди покупали, а их вот было решение в комнате. Анончик. А что ты не смотрел? А очень интересная игра, которую мы сейчас проходили. Тебе бы очень было бы интересно, раз ты такое пишешь. Так, сейчас такое сделал. Так, вот ты вернулся. Так. Что у тебя на лепке пыхает репер? Это не лепка. Ты просто это выпить не хочешь? Ну, как бы я... Просто, ну, чтобы заменять чем-то другим. Дэй. Денег на это нету. Ты не ответил, ты чё, блядь? Ты чё, блядь, игру не смотрел? Шляйте свой кругозор, там бывает. Потому что я на игростримах стримлю, бывает, конечно, очень интересное. Так. Впрочем, сейчас ты получишь краткий пересказ. А раз ты тут сидишь-то еще. Несмотря на то, что я сказал, что кино не будет сегодня. Так, саба английский хотя бы есть? Есть. Автоматический вход платит, надеюсь.
After Amnesia: The Dark Descent's gothic, Lovecraftian castle in Prussia, setting it in London was seen as the only way to top the horror. But this sequel wasn't being developed by Frictional, it was being developed by the Chinese Room. They had created some mods, but at this point were mainly known for their single game, Dear Esther. If you don't know it, it wasn't the first of its kind, but it is the game that people invented the term walking simulator for. It's a mainly linear game where...
Было темнее или светлее? Просто я ж фильтр включал, чтобы не было слишком темно на твоей стороне. Ну я не... Ну, конечно, блядь, надо было не лениться и все-таки самому посмотреть и как-то откорректировать. У меня швень, поэтому я включил и включил. А как там на вашей стороне видно, не знаю. Так темнее, светлее, хотя... Блять, вот это то, что хуйня с камерой, она как бы и на это видео действует. Все равно и это видео не то, как я вижу, видите. На нем-то фильтр не включен. Но все равно это ж не... Она темнее, светлее, но все равно так же равномерно.
From the outside, them doing the Amnesia sequel seemed kind of weird. Detractors said the Dark Descent barely had gameplay anyways, which isn't true. But there was a sentiment of, hey, at least the graphics will probably be great. Well, some predictions were way more correct than others. And after I played this one, I played no Amnesia titles after it. So coming back has been interesting for me because I did find more to appreciate, and I found more recognizable reasons why the game is scuffed. But I'll take it from the top before getting into all of that. A great starting example is the main menu. Dark Descent just had ambient, low-pitched droning. It's an ominous, prepare-to-be-scared sound. Machine for Pigs starts with the exact same sound, but then it moves into something more grand. The theme itself is saying this will be bigger in scope. What is the machine, and what is it for? It doesn't work great for me because it reminds me of Alien Resurrection. Don't get me wrong, that is a fun movie near and dear to me, but it's still the most immediate tone shift. As for the intro itself, there's a quote about how making a beast of oneself removes the pain of being human. I hope you're ready for lots of pig metaphors because, holy shit. We open with some kind of machine activating, but it's so obscured in red fog that it almost looks like a graphical bug is happening. It gets better when the room is properly illuminated, but what this machine is could have just been a nightmare. You've awakened inside of your caged bed just in time for the title drop. Like Penumbra and Amnesia before it, it's a first-person game with plenty of interactable... Oh. There's actually precious few things that you can interact with this round. I'm gonna have more to say on this in a little bit. You play as Oswald Mandus, the head of a meatpacking company in 1899. He's had feverish nightmares of the machine...
Честно говоря, сейчас видео темнее, чем было в игре для меня. Ну, видимо, как бы компрессия Ютуба.
He's sometimes a man in a fursuit, but now his children are missing. It'll be tricky to find them because Mandus's estate is large, but also bizarre. It's lavish, but to the point where the number of paintings on display is excessive, even for then.
Ну, окей, ну как бы... То, о чем говорит, он все-таки... Он видел игру так же, по крайней мере, когда играл, так как я. Просто, во-первых, компрессия Ютуба, что даже для меня сейчас видео темнее, чем я видел в игре. Значит, показалось, ты был в сети. Не-не-не-не-не, ничего тебе не показалось. Я говорю, наоборот, возможно, я невозможно, во-первых, компрессия Ютуба, я сейчас вижу, что на видео оно как-то, ну, потемнее, не разборчивее. Во-вторых, я включил фильтр. Зная, что на твоей стороне будет темнее, типа на моей, включил фильтр, и, возможно, даже слишком сильно его выкрутил, и надеюсь, хотя бы... Ну, короче, ты меня понял.
And the subject matter can be strange or about pigs. But it's definitely the secret passages and caged beds and pervert one-way mirrors that seem the most alarming. The mansion also has direct access to the Mandus meatpacking factory, so it's possible his twin boys are lost somewhere down there. To make matters worse, while Mandus was sleeping, the machinery was sabotaged, which might have been the sound that gave him the nightmares. This is reported by Mandus' chief engineer, who believes that his children are trapped somewhere down below, along with giving other useful tidbits of information. Moshi Moshi.
Precious eagle cactus fruit. Help us.
Fantastic. On the way to find your twins, you'll be shadowed by pig masks and pursued by pig men. But for a game following up a lot of famous chase scenes, there aren't going to be as many as you think. So that's the quick rundown, but we have to address the graphics. The issue is, the game has some great art direction. Between Mandus' eccentric estate, the dirty...
Птик отвалился,
gave you way to monsters more easily. Light wasn't just set dressing, it was a major mechanic that areas were designed around. Rooms were lit to set a tone, so they still had to account for danger. How hard will it be to sneak through an area unspotted, but also, how hard will it be for the player to see the monster? The truth is, Amnesia was submarine warfare. You can see farther at the cost from being spotted from farther. So when an area was well lit, that wasn't necessarily welcome because you had less places to hide. And the same went for the very open areas, so Amnesia liked to combine both. In Machine for Pigs, you have a light with unlimited power. You don't have fuel or oil, you don't have an inventory, and there is no sanity system at all. People have already criticized this for, you know, dumbing down the mechanics, and there's a lot to that too. But I think people have missed just how much this approach torpedoed the look of the game, because the Dark Descent's fantastic lighting was made with your limitations in mind. Someone can run out of light, so they should be able to still navigate around and complete challenges. It might be awful, but it's doable. With that in mind, here's what Machine for Pigs does when it takes that away. This room is dark, this room is dark, this room is dark. What do you mean you can't see? Just pull out your light. It might look murky and compressed and horrible like you're playing the game through OnLive in 2007, but you can always see in front of you, kind of? But get this, the first game had all kinds of insanity vision effects. And that is still more clear than just walking around in Machine for Pigs. The game constantly has this horrible tinted fog to it, which is incredibly visible even in small spaces. Where once you could look way down a long hallway, now the draw distance is unbelievably bad. Reminds me of Morrowind, except it actually is worse here. It's like the fog and tinting is the only real light, and the actual light bulbs you see barely emit anything at all. And not every light source is like this, even if the room is still murky. But when I go through settings and look at Let's Plays and look at the console version to make sure something's not broken, that's not a great sign. It's not just exploring around either, because it makes the set pieces boring as hell too. You find a strange chemical centrifuge and it's sitting in darkness. Turn on your light and there it is. Areas that could have dramatic lighting either don't bother at all, or they attempt it and it's drowned out by the other effects. And no, this round I don't think it's supposed to look bad as some kind of art piece. If you hack out the fog, you can see a lot of assets loading in, so it might have been optimization gone wrong. At least in some cases, because so much more of it would have to be by design. A light barely affecting the environment is one thing, but an area having none at all, like even fixtures, is another entirely. It really sucks because there are moments where that works in the game's favor. When you're deep into a near pitch black factory and can only catch glimpses of the machinery with your light, it's a striking image that does feel like something from a nightmare. But it doesn't stand out as much as it could because the rest of the game isn't too far off. In the final killing blow, that's what they did to your lantern.
Каких модов на освещение нет, ну, как бы, все должно было дизайнить, просто если делать светлее, то будет просто тупо светлее, так же равномерно. Плюс он сказал, если убрать темноту, то, не темноту, а туман, то видно, что свет подгружается, и, возможно, draw distance низкая была, именно чтобы оптимизировать. Ну, возможно. Я не помню, через сколько лет после первой части вышло. Но по самому первой частью... первая часть, ну, при том, что так лучше задизайна была, она немного более мыльная. Ниже разрешения текстур, что ли.
So I won't explain too far ahead, but for lore reasons... The man-pigs affect electricity, which means a fixture flickering could just be a malfunction, or a human is around and a little piggy is coming to murk it, which means if a man-pig is around, your lantern starts flickering. It has unlimited fuels, so there's no chance of it actually going out, so what they've done is given you a spooky detector. The best scare with it is early on because it's a narrow staircase with no way around it. It's a scripted scare, but they put thought into framing it. But out in the wild, it only means your light flickers if something scary is nearby, even if you're not looking directly at it. This kind of thing could work for tension in the right circumstances, but again, it's machine for pigs. And the mechanical streamlining extends into how easily detected you are. For now, let's just say these hogs aren't going to find truffles anytime soon. It ruins what could be great sequences too, like going through a dark area but you're not sure how close the man pig is, and then your lantern starts flickering. And you can't have a moment where you lose your light dynamically based on how you played. Putting together long stretches of murky darkness and then flickering lights when something scary happens makes the horror feel cheaper in a way that the first game did not. I mean, it's basically the SpongeBob Nosferatu bit. And it's not all like this, there are moments that are fantastic. Like exploring an office and suddenly getting a glimpse of something inhuman driving past you. Which gives you a nice uncertain, did I see that correctly? Gives you a nice uncertain. Did I see...
Возможно, этот... Vision of human, что-то...
That correctly moment, instead of a flashlight confirming it. There's a part where some machinery violently shifts and you see a man-pig run by. The lights flicker here, so you only see it for a bit through some machinery, but the sound is so loud that you don't know where it ran off to. That sound gives it uncertainty, and that's what gives you tension. Stripping out elements that you had to manage makes you more certain, and less scared. Machine for Pigs exchanged a lot of the moment-to-moment tension in exchange for something else. It's relying more on its writing and concepts, which are strong, along with having set-piece sequences or scary things you can stare at as long as you want. But you can have all of those things with a tense game, and they've lost a lot of that. The game's sound is...
Ну да, игра, типа, страшная была. Понравилась. Играем, подачей... Страшного, непосредственно, было довольно мало.
Another interesting area like that. The ambient audio and sound effects are still pretty incredible. Of all the elements that neuter the tension, sound is not one of them. The background audio is so rich with a lot of depth and layers to it, and when they do go to turn it up, they turn it up hard. The actual sound design might be even better than before, it can just be harder to appreciate because it's not used as effectively. When you're hearing pig-human hybrids crashing through the factory, knocking God knows what over, those can be the actual tensest moments in the game, even when the danger has never been farther. It's such a huge missed opportunity for this kind of work. There's not a lot of background music during the game, and it's not used like The Dark Descent either, but the ones that do play during cutscenes and set pieces are very good. They are attached to some big story moments too, so I can't show them just yet. But the larger scale that the title screen hinted at is definitely delivered on. As for the voice acting, it's excellent, which is fantastic when the game's cast is this small. The delivery is always perfectly as cruel or maniacal or as dismissive as it needs to be. There may not be that many characters, but there's not a moment where a line falls flat. Except for the kids, but luckily they don't have that much.
Come and see, Papa. We found an egg. A stone egg.
And even that's not horrible.
You seem to have undergone quite a profound conversion in Mexico, Mr. Mendes.
You could not have seen it yourself and not...
Oh, she's playing this... What? It's the part that's... This one is just the telephone that shows that it's the one that's in the road.
Professor... As we disembarked, even through my fever, I saw the detritus of this so-called progress. I saw starvation and disease, rot and destruction polluting the waters of the We are ruiners, you and I, and all of us, and we make the world...
Special in Mexico, Mr. Mendes.
You could not have seen it yourself and not, Professor. As we disembarked, even through my fever, I saw the detritus of this so-called progress. I saw starvation and disease, rot and destruction polluting the waters of the Empire. We are ruiners, you and I, and all of us, and we make the world unclean.
My one complaint here is that the audio mixing can be very inconsistent. Background noise can drown out lines, and when Mandus is speaking, he sounds too quiet and far away.
Beast! Creature! Where are my children? Where are my children?
And that's a problem when you can't adjust sound levels at all. So presentation-wise, it all comes together to be a weird mix of stuff. The visuals are usually murky and awful, but sometimes you see something striking. There's incredible sound design, but the game rarely takes advantage of it. The horror can be existential and high concept, but they also want to flicker the lights to make the room scary. They try to go for pig mask jump scares. I honestly don't know what to
say.
Having the masks follow you around, sometimes subtly appearing and disappearing, is one thing, but genuinely attempting jump scares with them comes across as desperate. So now's a perfect time to get into the mechanics, or really, the lack of them. I think what bothers me most about the gameplay is it's exactly what people will say The Dark Descent is if they haven't played it. I've already talked about how removing limited light and fuel has utterly changed the look and feel of the game, but there's more to it than that. Because you've got no inventory, and so no healing potions, if you take damage, you regenerate it right back. Even dying is difficult to achieve, as big holes have guardrails everywhere, and even the monsters don't usually kill you, they just knock you out. And the monster encounters barely account for anything. Where the chases in previous games could cross all kinds of rooms and hallways, the ones here can be unbelievably small and closed off. And even having that, their AI seems dumber and has more limited senses. In the areas where you're supposed to sneak around, I had to go out of my way to be chased by them. I'll show you how dire... ...is, but I must warn you, this clip will contain pigs, so I hope you're ready. If I didn't stand directly in front of him and stay there, he would not fucking chase me. I thought the whole thing with pigs was that they were kind of smart.
Oh,
He chases me a few steps, but I can easily outrun him, so I have to stand there for him to kill me. With that advantage, it still takes him multiple hits to drop me down. Okay, there, he finally killed me. Except he didn't kill me, he knocked me out and put me in this pig cage. I can actually see him.
Оказывается, блядь, тут была механика, то что они не вбивают, а просто оттаскивают куда-то.
Fucking way, so let me go try to get murdered again. Except, no I can't, because he's actively running away from me. Come back, you greasy fuck. See, what happened is I left his special chase zone, which is about 10 feet across. And I have to chase him all the way back before he goes after me again. And it's not like I was boundary breaking or something crazy, this is where the game put me. They knew exactly where I would be, but did not count on me getting right back out. Because what they hoped for was that you would come into this room, see the pig, and go, ah, and then run out the door over here. With how cramped the room is and the calendar length time to kill, you practically have to try to die. And if you're someone who doesn't and does die, they're going to have the monster go right back to where he was. It's either assuming that any player who dies there won't be able to handle a chase, or it was never taken into account that that person would run right back out. The man pig is well- animated and scary, but he's the illusion of any real threat here. Speaking of which, there's another section where you're trapped in a hallway with one that dashes at you, and it just vanishes. This could happen in the first game if your sanity was low enough, but it would only be for about half a second, and it was dynamic. But get this, if you don't just stand there-
Так там, где... Там, где я провалился по текстуру, нужно было просто исчезнуть, ясно.
On the way, the door will automatically slam behind you, and it pounds on it like you just escaped in time. How about this part? It looks like if you don't finish this task in time, the pigs will make you go wee-wee-wee all the way home. You even get a journal entry that says, I must escape, and we know these monsters can break down doors. Right? Let's spend big and call that bet. I guess not. To give a final example, the water monster. It is fairly famous, but I didn't mention it in the previous video. I figure that even if people watch through spoilers and all that, there should be things in the game that still surprise them that I don't bring up. Well, now's the time to address the water monster. It's some kind of creature from the mysterious dimension that Alexander comes from. You avoid it by platforming and throwing things to distract it, particularly human limbs. You can even throw a few-
Кстати, обратил внимание, что эти невидимые боди, это вообще-то как в первой части. В первой части было похоже, но только тоже с намного большим геймплеем.
In the water, so it has a stupid mukbang as you make your escape. You never learn much more about it beyond it being a vicious, feral creature, and you need to be quick, careful, and have good timing to escape it. Machine for Pigs introduces it with the exact same musical sting, but it's a little more electrical this time. It only blocks your way until you drain it out, but at one point, you do fall into the water with it. And I know sometimes people will say a linear section can feel like it's on rails, but this is almost literally on rails. It feels like I wanted to go bowling and someone put up the bumper guards. So even though it guides me right to the exit, let me be a human houseplant and sit here and die. Except I don't, it puts me right at the exit. If I crawl down to die again... It puts me in an area right by this. Aren't they supposed to be ravenous carnivores? Well, they're not- Ravenous carnivores? Well, they're not those. Instead, according to the notes, they're invisible pigs caught between two worlds. Because everything in this game is a goddamn pig. The creature helps you progress or detains you. And yeah, in the first game sometimes monsters will disappear after some deaths. But you could still lose tangible progress, it didn't Disney fast pass you ahead, and there's a hard mode option where that doesn't happen. This is just silly.
После смерти иногда просто вперед перемещают.
The fact there are barely any interactable objects makes more sense now. You don't ever need to throw anything to fight back, there's no furniture to hide inside, and the few things you do pilfer through are purely for finding more story notes. Or, on very rare occasion, something strange like the teeth drawer. So, if you have less to interact with, no inventory, and less tension from the monsters, where does that put the puzzles? Well, it mainly means carrying items around, but luckily not too far, as the puzzles are now nearly pointless. Oh, a switch is stuck. Go down the ladder, fix the hatch, and now the switch works. The problem solving is the simplest it's ever been, without the pressure of a monster shambling into the room while you do it. There are two or three that are okay, but they lack that tension. What gets to me beyond the game being so streamlined down is that it's basically wearing the skin of a better one. It says Amnesia, so people are going to expect monster encounters, and they're going to expect puzzles. The elements are there, but rarely have consequence. The easiest, most simple tasks will give you a journal entry for hints, but sometimes that same pop-up is giving you more story and insight. So the solution could be obvious, but you're always compelled to check the journal anyway. Mandus constantly writes down what he has to do in the same section where he reveals more about what's happening, which The Dark Descent separated out so much better. If you are stuck, there's an entirely separate memento section just for hints and objectives. You don't have to check every entry because "I must discover the fate of my children" is not intertwined with "I must pull this lever." It's like every gameplay element was made out of begrudging obligation, and if you somehow fail, they want you to move right past it to see their story. It feels like you're outright not trusted to play the video game, which makes sense from the creators of Dear Esther, but not from the creators of Penumbra called Frictional Games. By definition, friction is rough. It resists you. You know what friction also makes? Heat. It might also make sparks. And if you don't have heat, you're not gonna cook. That means the pork that Machine for Pigs brought to my dinner party is cold-cut Oscar Mayer. And that pork is made with chicken. This is chicken gameplay. All these years, and I finally stooped to a food analogy. That's how bad it is out here. It stripped out so much agency and uncertainty and everything that makes horror games great. I assume they did it so more people would experience it and see the story, where the story is complicated, with interesting themes and writing, and still a little bit of chicken in there. But you need to be paying close attention, explore to find notes to give more nuance to it, read every pop-up, and then examine the notes, ideally after you play. Because there's a good chance you could go through the first time and still not fully understand what the hell happened. If you did, then you know there are still parts that are ambiguously real or don't have clear explanations. It gets praised for being a smart story with a lot of angles to it, and I would agree there. But I do have issues with how the story was told. Plus, in the end, it's the only thing really interesting about the game. Imagine the same story with Dark Descent gameplay or an expanded version. It could have been something spectacular, but this is what we got. I'll talk more about that in detail.
Да, я там критику уместно, но потому что это часть типа серии, которая вообще, которая не только это. При этом есть разработчики Bloober Games, Bloober Team, у которых Layers of Fear, Observer, которые в принципе, все части, вот тоже просто хороший симулятор ходьбы, но без каких-то геймплейных амбиций. Так, поэтому мне как-то недостаточно того, что был хороший райтинг и подача.
So if you don't want...
Хотя, минус, конечно, я видел.
Spoilers, go to here.
Ну и ему, и конкретно ему, по-моему, достаточно нравились игры Bloober, блядь, как их, Тим.
Boys will be happy to see these pictures, ha-ha-ha-ha!
No, that's not right. When it comes to the story, you get most of the background details out of order, so I'm going to go over some things in a more linear context before getting into it. About a decade before the beginning of the game, Mandus's wife died giving birth to their twins. Before she passed away, he vowed he would always take care of them. Unfortunately, the next few years weren't kind to Mandus, and especially his company, which had been established for generations. Mandus was trying to modernize his business with brand new machinery, but overextended, to the point that he couldn't get a loan and the bank, those swine, might be coming to repossess his house. Naturally, he ponders about killing them all, and does it in writing. Mandus comes across as eccentric even before the death of his wife. He already had secret passages in his house that he used to watch her bathe, and was possibly the second or third best safari hunter seen on this channel. Whatever was going on with him, he wasn't shy from adventure. Along with all his paintings and trophies, he also has artifacts in display, so is likely a bit of a treasure hunter too. So through the adventuring grapevine, he heard rumors of an Aztec pyramid deep in the jungles of Mexico. Thinking the treasure within could pay his way out, he took his boys and went on the trip. Apparently, this actually worked because when Mandus came back, his luck turned around. He was able to finance and construct amazing new machinery and did so well, the factory had a surplus. He picked up some kind of illness down in Mexico, so would be frequently bedridden, but he was still a huge philanthropist now. Working with the local church, he gave countless meals to the poor, asking nothing for return. A priest notes that he won't even let them work in his factory, as the machinery requires specialists and would be dangerous to them, which is damn generous by Victorian England standards. Still, while he had become a hero in society, his old close friends thought there was something off about him. So they hired Professor A to evaluate him, who had apparently...
если бы я прошел после прохождения перечитал записки, как-то больше понял, но то есть вот я не вспомнил про то, что это профессор, в котором были аудиозаписи, это вот ранее там была записка о том, что к нему чела послали к нему его бывшие друзья, чтобы проверить, как он. И вообще-то он собирался, судя по этой записке, сразу его убить. Но, видимо, не стал. Сначала с ним вел беседы долгие.
We also checked out the Jack the Ripper murders, which might have some tie-ins I'll get into. Anyhow, the professor is more impressed over suspicious.
I seem to have picked up something rather nasty in Mexico.
I do understand what you've been through. A lesser man would have crumbled. Yet you... I've made all of this. Your great factory, your charities. It is a wonder for one man alone.
It will all be made clear, Professor.
As you explore around in the search for your children, the reasons the club was worried become more obvious. Mandus rants to the professor and himself about the sickness he sees in society. While he's publicly a philanthropist and friend of high society, in secret, he despises them. Their pretentiousness, their corruption, and he has big plans to fix them all. As you go through the factory, large parts of it are just a facade. There are large office spaces that are pristine, with no staff and no signs of any work being done at all. The real operation and machinery appears to be deeper and deeper underground. Beyond that, symbols from Brandenburg Castle and the Dark Descent begin reappearing. In fact, some of those artifacts that Mandus has also look familiar. A strange symbol on an altar deep in Alexander's chambers is also on a grave in a nearby church courtyard. Mandus mentions how London engineers find tunnels and ancient structures beneath the city, and his architect tells him there's an iron ball at the center of the planet and calls it the Egg of the World. This architect is the same engineer that calls up and is someone Mandus met on his expedition in Mexico. He's been helping Mandus design and build the great machinery, but if the sir-
Не возвращается? Вернулась. Я там переключил на режим вещания кино. Ну, в смысле, она теперь не вещает на YouTube, который, ну, там, стрим закончился, но она все еще... вещает, только это никуда не доходит. Может, из-за того, что из-за этого какие-то проблемы.
Ancient structures beneath the city. And his architect tells him there's an iron ball at the center of the planet touched. Some of those artifacts that Mandus has also look familiar. A strange symbol on an altar deep in Alexander's chambers is also on a grave in a nearby church courtyard. Mandus mentions how London engineers find tunnels and ancient structures beneath the city. And his architect tells him there's an iron ball at the center of the planet and calls it the Egg of the World. This architect is the same engineer that calls up and is someone Mandus met on his expedition in Mexico. He's been helping Mandus design and build the great machinery, but if the surface level is fake, what the hell is it for? And the most pressing of all, why is the factory full of man-pigs? Well, during the Mexican vacation, Mandus's kids found something they described as being a stone egg. Apparently, it had some kind of way of speaking to Mandus, and when he got home, he placed it on his mantelpiece, along with burying some shattered skulls in his garden. With our Dark Descent connections, this egg in a temple was likely another orb, or at least a piece of one. But when Daniel took the orb, he was hunted by the Shadow, so why isn't that happening to Mandus? It's possible that he could be. The pig masks that keep following Mandus around look like they could be decorated in a Central American style, Except pigs didn't arrive in the New World until Cortez came to get real busy. So Aztecs weren't seeing pigs until their doom was upon them. It could be something they just saw in Mexico, but what's the most... Telling is, the top of the mask has a depiction that looks like the orb. It's right over the brain, too, implying that the orb had influence over them instead of hunting them. It's around a lot, but I don't think it's the shadow, and even if it is, it's not like the one in the first game. I see it more...
Вот тут как бы использовали элементы лора первой части, то есть как бы этот орб это тот же, что в первой, но тут расширили и изменили, но эти изменения не использовались в последующих частях, так что, по-моему, так что это можно считать не каноном.
It's a metaphor for Mandus feeling haunted and not hunted. Plus, it's the kind of thing I would expect more from the Dear Esther team. Now, I'm not an expert on Aztecs. I only had a brief Aztec Death Whistle musical career. So I won't get super...
Aztec Death Whistle musical career. Я давно хотел показать вам это, но вот как-то не предоставлялось что-то. Повода? Так, где это? Мэнди иногда стримит на Твиче. Последние несколько... Ну, иногда так. 4 в год, 5. В среднем он так иронично проходил Garden of Pan-Pan. И вот на стриме был такой момент, где он рассказывал про Stack the Swissle. Ну, можете нагуглить, что это, сейчас узнаете. И он продемонстрировал звук, который он издает, и это нечто, блядь. Сейчас найду, без видео даже, так только звук важен. Сейчас, где это было? Блядь. Хотя буду долго.
Go instead.
500. Which is weird because
yeah, that's not nice.
I thought the last one was the jester focused one. Just blowing air through it.
Oh.
You but if you shake your hands, like if you kind of
pull it,
you can control like the.
Мы кучерим сосед, что-то в форме черепа. На самом деле. Современное, скорее всего, изобретение, и у них был какой-то такой инструмент у ацтеков, только он не издавал такой звук, а звук был нормальным. А с таким звуком это современное изобретение, как я понял, надо погуглить.
Intensity and the amount of people screaming. I fucked up and started exploring.
So...
Through the, like, shaft walls or something? But after about a week, it's...
и он еще рассказывал, что почему он приобрел этот инструмент. У него кто-то в доме, ну, многоквартирном, соседи курили марихуану и заебали его запахом. И там жаловался, но это не помогало. Ему помогло то, что он в AirDuck, когда начался запах, то есть когда они были под влиянием явным, он в AirDuck, в вентиляцию, сыграл им на стэк-де-свисте.
Stop.
Нет, я точно не показывал, скримиш не прозвучал.
And they haven't done it since. Now they go out to their...
Ну вот, как раз он рассказывает.
Breathing, I guess, that's how you put, like, the amount of voices it's trying to emulate.
Короче, отсюда.
So I, I started practicing that kind of away from the vent. And then when I'd start to smell it, and it smelled like really It's like, okay, I smelt it for like a good like 15 minutes or something. They're probably well on their way. I would go to our little central exhaust vent.